Jeremy in Kentucky in plain sight on your Wednesday night broadcast on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage, 2251 Double Creek Tribe, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in that debit or credit to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Keep free speech alive. And this is your spiritual health and wellness broadcast where I will be preaching to you because I care about you people and I don't want you to go to hell. So if you don't want to get preached at, now is your time to leave. If you stay, that means you want to get preached at. I will include 2 sermon clips on masculinity according to the Bible from one of our great local pastors in West Kentucky, Pastor B. We'll get that first one going. That'll take us to the break. Got another clip after the first break, and then we'll do some commentary and scripture. Go ahead and roll that sermon.
Take your Bible,
please,
and open up to the book of Proverbs in chapter number 20. The book of Proverbs in chapter number 20. Proverbs 20 and verse number 6. Word of God says, "Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find?" Let me read it again. "Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love." But notice this question. "But a faithful man who can find?" It seems today, as you survey the modern landscape of not only our culture, but also of the modern professing Christian church, that there is indeed a void that has become all too noticeable. This void has led to chaos, confusion, and consternation as we look all around at the destruction that follows in its wake. This void has been the cause of many problems that we continuously face to this very hour. What is this void? It's a lack of men. It's a lack of men. There's 2 books that have been very influential, Michael Foster and Zach Garris, 2 pastors who've wrote books on biblical masculinity. I borrow heavily from them for some of the things that I'm going to say, so I want to give credit where credit is due. It's a lack of men today. I see a lot of males in the culture, but I don't see any manliness. I see boys, but I don't see men. I see weak-kneed cowards with backbones that mirror a spaghetti noodle, but I don't see any firmly planted, fearless men with backbones that mirror a railroad iron. I see petty little tyrants who, motivated by fear, run roughshod over the very ones they're supposed to be protecting. I see sissies and jerks, but I don't see real men. That's the balance, you know. I see weak sissies, I see overbearing jerks, but I don't see any men. It's been said by Paul Washer's wife, "If a man-eating lion escaped from the zoo, it would starve to death." I think there's truth to that. So I want to talk to the men among us today. And as I look in the mirror, I find the same problems, just so you know. But I am thankful that, for me at least, my wife couldn't be here this morning to hear the message on biblical masculinity. So the Lord has already providentially been good to me, and I'm sorry that He hasn't been as good to some of you. But it still will be recorded, and I know I'll hear about it later. We are thankful for sermon audio. Amen. Needless to say that masculinity is in peril. Masculinity is under attack. And you know, it seems as though it has retreated. What has driven this lack of manhood? I would submit to you the rise of feminism has led to the erosion of masculinity. Feminism, that belief system that states that women must not only be equal with men, which the Bible would affirm that, but that the demand that women carry out the same function as men in society. This ideology of feminism, it minimizes sex distinctions with an emphasis on pushing women away from the home and children and into careers just like men. The basis of this ideology of feminism is that men and women are fundamentally the same and thus interchangeable. That's the basis of this ideology. This movement has been very successful over the years, to say the least, to the degree that the West that we are in currently lives in a post-feminist society. Meaning that most people today are actually feminists without the label. It has been so ingrained into the very fabric of our lives in America that you are actually probably more of a feminist than you even realize here this morning. Feminism's long-term goal is an assault on the family unit. Men in general, women in specific, they hate women, by the way, and God overall. This is an assault. And there have been massive waves of feminism in the 19th and 20th centuries, which are the 18 and 1900s. The National Women's Rights Convention in the 1850s. Women's State Temperance Society. The Women's Loyal National League, all used to bring in heavy government control. It started a long time ago with the bringing in of government control to a great degree, and influence leading to the granting of a woman's right to vote in the 1900s. Now, this move led to slowly but surely pulling women out of the home and into society one step at a time, creating a wedge in the family and a subversion to the man's headship over his family, and finally a disintegration of the family altogether. Right. Look at the fruit of where we're at today. Elizabeth Stanton, a radical early feminist, in her writings, she was not simply concerned with a woman's right to vote. This woman wanted to overthrow the traditional practices of male leadership in every sphere, including the church. Just a note, when women become more masculine, men become more feminine. When women become masculine, men become feminine and weak. Strong women produce weak men. Just a note, a sad fact is that the feminist movement has thrown off the high place of honor and protection for women that Christianity has provided for them in exchange for the right to do everything a man does. In the 1830s, his two-volume work called Democracy in America, Alexis de Tocqueville, who is a non-Christian, 1830s, this is before a lot of this stuff really kicked up, a non-Christian French statesman wanted to know the greatness of America. And in that book, he says, quote, "Although the women of the United States are confined within the narrow circle of domestic life, and their situation is in some respects one of extreme dependence, I have nowhere seen woman occupying a loftier position. If I were asked to what the singular prosperity and growing strength of that people ought mainly to be attributed, I should reply to the superiority of their women." End quote. Wow. Before all of the feminism started, he said that he would attribute the growth and strength of this country to the value that is placed on women. The feminist movement is not for women. It is against women. It hates women.
That's right.
Feminism was a massive revolutionary movement that has led to the very problems America faces today. Too much governmental control, no-fault divorce, individualistic autonomy, abortion, rampant fornication and adultery, homosexuality, transgenderism, the destruction of women's sports, governmental funded sex reassignment surgery for children, which is just an awful tragedy, and the imprisonment of parents who get in the way. The contraception pill enabled women to have sex without having children, which is a huge problem. And therefore, sex apart from marriage and eventually jobs apart from children. This leads to children, if they're not murdered first, being raised by people other than their parents. And kids spending more time with daycare workers and school teachers than their own mothers. Fathers, your kids should hear more of the gospel from you than from any of these four elders. They should hear more of the gospel from you. And women, your children should know you better than they know anybody else. They should spend more time with you than anybody else. And if that's flipped, you need to repent. The West, needless to say, has been feminized. But what's been the cause of feminism? Well, a lack of masculinity. It all starts with the men. When men stop being men, feminism rises. And when feminism rises, it then leads to the complete erosion of all of the residue of remaining masculinity. It's a vicious cycle, but make no mistake, it starts with the compromise of men. Men are the problem. And men have compromised because we have abandoned the transcendent standard, the eternal word of the living God. I want to give you 5 points. The reality of masculinity, the rebellion of masculinity, the reasons for a lack of masculinity today, the result of no masculinity, and finally, the recovery of true masculinity. Number one, the result or the reality of masculinity. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 1. The reality of true biblical masculinity. As Lombardi said, gentlemen, this is a football. That was his first lesson. What is a man? Genesis chapter number 1. We see the original design as God here establishes the family as the prototypical model for society. God's design establishes the foundation of manhood, womanhood, and gender responsibilities from the very beginning, which, by the way, Jesus and Paul both use as the basis for their argumentation concerning marriage. Jesus affirms this. Paul affirms this. If you destroy this, you've undermined the Lord Jesus Christ and the New Testament revelation. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. Stands out above all the rest of creation because you are made in the image of God. That is amazing to think about. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. The expression of the image of God in mankind is male and female. That's it. There's nothing in between. The foundation here is male and female. Or we could say the foundation here laid is masculinity and femininity, right here laid down. And just a note, in all perversions of marriage, there are never two masculines or two feminines. Never. I've said this before, but when you look at a homosexual relationship, it may be two men there, but there's not two masculines. One is masculine, one is feminine. Because even a perversion of marriage can't break from God's design. It's built into the very fabric of reality. And they can't change it no matter how much they want to. You will never have two masculines or two feminines. Someone takes the headship role and someone takes the submissive helping role. Mark it down as a fact. That's how God created it to be. You can't escape it. Look in Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, three observations that God gave to the man. Number one, he gave him work. Number two, he gave him the word. And number three, he gave him a wife. Let's look at work. Number one, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, notice, to work it and to keep it. To work it. Work has always been an important and dignified part of representing the image of God as a man. A man needs to be a worker. Amen?
Amen.
A worker. Even before the fall occurred, you have work given to man. That means that work is not the product of sin. Work's not the product of sin. It's our attitude towards work that's the product of sin. Work was given by God as a good thing before the fall ever happened. Assigned to man to work the garden. And after God says to work the garden, he then speaks of food in verse 16 and 17. So if you don't work, then you don't need to eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Proverbs chapter 6 says, look at the ant, O sluggard, and observe the ant's ways. I mean, we've got to break down and look at the activity of an ant to see how a man should work. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if you don't provide for your household, men, you are worse than an unbeliever. The man is the provider. The man's task is to rule the earth for God. Represent God by taking control, by exercising authority. Genesis 1:28 said to subdue the earth to the man. Have dominion over the earth. Rule the earth for God. Work the earth. Produce a valuable resource that benefits others. Enjoy the fruit of your labors. And contribute something to society. Men should work. I mean, we could preach the entire rest of the sermon on this point. Notice the next thing he tells him, to work the garden and to keep it. This is something distinguished from work. It's the Hebrew word shamar. And the Hebrew word shamar in several places in the Old Testament means to guard. Men are to work in the garden and guard the garden. Not only must a man provide, he must also protect his house.
Provision is protection, and that includes physical provision against invaders. That means physical violence to protect your home. As the governor of your home, you, the man, are the protector and the provider. Let's pick this up on the other side of the break with part two of the sermon clip and then analysis after the bottom of the hour. Back on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
I'm going to comment on the sermon regarding masculinity in the Bible and the rise of feminism. Let's roll part two of the clip. That'll take us to the bottom of the hour, and I'll take your calls and give commentary on the other side of the break. Roll that if you would, Mike.
He must protect his house. There are women in your house. Your call is to protect those women. That's the man's job. Protector, provider, given by God. Number two, he gave him the word. Not only must a man be provider and protector, but he must also be prophet and priest in his home. Look at verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden." Now notice, this is a command from God. So here's Adam's Bible. Man's never been without a Bible. Amen. Not just general revelation. This is special revelation. God gave Adam the Bible. He gave him the word and commanded him, saying, "You can surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Man here is given the word. And notice, woman has not been created yet. Man is given the command from God. And in Genesis 3, Eve repeats the command from God, which means, if I'm deducing correctly, that the man taught the woman the word. It's the man's job to be the prophet of his home, the preacher of his home, the shepherd of his home. Men, the children, I tell you again, should hear more of the gospel from you than from me, from any of us. He gave him his word. Man's the prophet, the priest. He's the king of his home. His job is to, Ephesians 5, wash his wife with the water of the word. Provide instruction for his children, bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, in Ephesians 6, 4. He gave him work, he gave him the word, and then he gave him a wife. Verse 18. Now here you'll notice that after every day God pronounced it as good, but after God made man, he said something was not good. Verse 18. Then the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. As Vody says, that boy's going to need some help. He ain't going to make it on his own. He got to have some help. A man needs help. Amen. I heard some women in there too, I think. Amen from the women. You're part of this too. A man needs help. So he makes a helper fit. In verse 19 and 20, Adam names all these animals, but he can't find a helper suitable for him. He's looking around at the giraffe and the dog, and he says, that ain't going to work. That's not going to work. He finds no helper suitable. So what does God say is a suitable helper for the man? What does that look like if we were to ask the Lord? Verse 21. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. So that word made into a woman, it's a different Hebrew word. It means he fashioned. When he made man, he just said, here. When he made woman, he built a woman. He fashioned a woman. He took the thread and the needle and he went to work. And he created something different than Adam was. But she was created from the man. So if a woman is well built, that's a biblical term. That's what the word means. It means to build, to construct. He built her and he brought her to the man. God's playing matchmaker. So if the woman doesn't know what the man looks like or who a man is, so Eve must trust herself to the Lord and the Lord brings her to the man. Amen. And when he brings her, the man said, verse 23, this is at last bone of my bone. So this is excitement here. This is exhilaration. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, that's what I need. Yes, this is at last. Hallelujah. Bone of my bone. Flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Adam was made from the dirt to work the dirt. Eve was made from the man to help the man. ABCs. God gave Adam headship, which is a component of masculinity. Now, masculine headship and feminine submission are thereby established here before the fall. There's six reasons why Adam had headship over Eve before the fall.
So we'll continue more of this on the other side of the break with your calls, 512-248-8252. I want to draw as many good points from the sermon and elaborate on them, providing scripture as the basis. Whoa. Zyklon T is amening that in the background on his Xbox. But you know, like I said, if you guys want to weigh in, just please call in and we're taking calls. But otherwise, I'm going to keep going and elaborate on this headship of man, masculinity in the Bible, and the place of woman according to the Bible. We're going to get into many possibly controversial subjects. So please stay tuned. Back on the other side of the break.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Health and wellness on In Plain Sight. And I'm going to bring up several points in the sermon and elaborate on them. You can feel free to weigh in if you want to call. I'm live tonight. Taking your calls live for your Wednesday night drive, 512-248-8252. First of all, male and female made in the image of God. There's different layers here, but two of the immediate things that I want to bring up is that the family represents the Trinity, and then you have male, female, and children, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, you may say, well, in the animal world, this is also replicated, but Ecclesiastes 3:21 addresses this. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men, which goes upward, and the spirit of the animal, which goes down to the earth? The animals don't have a eternal spirit. They have no means of connecting spiritually with God. Mankind has that ability. Body and soul is how man is created. That's two aspects. And the trichotomy would be when you're born again, you have the spirit of God in you. That's the trichotomy of man, in which he is made in the image of God. So that's the spiritual aspect, which separates man from the animals. It also separates man from the angels. Jesus states in Matthew that the angels are not given into marriage, and thus we'll all be after the resurrection. But in the current present state, male and female marry, have children. Men and women have the ability to connect with God spiritually upon being born again. The angels do not have this ability. The animals do not have this ability. This is the aspect in which we are created in the image of God and separate and distinct from all of other creation. I want to bring out another point just to clarify. The speaker talked about the equality of male and female. Now, that this is salvifically. He didn't go into this, but he would agree with me, I'm sure, on this point. Galatians 3, and this is a chapter that's very often misquoted. So to get the context, I'm going to read Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So there's your context, is salvation through Christ. So within this context, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This verse has been used erroneously by modernity, by modern Christian, so-called Christian churches, to deconstruct gender and race. But you cannot do that, because I'm going to pinpoint some scriptures in 1 Timothy 2 as well as 1 Corinthians 14 talking about the role of females in the church. They are to learn in silence under their husbands, under male authority. They're not to speak in the meeting of the church. So you cannot dismantle, you can't remove the differentiation between male and female as of this verse in Galatians 3. It simply means that anyone may come to Christ, no matter what their position, ethnicity, or gender. Right? They're not deconstructing any of these. Also, you have the book of Philemon, where Philemon is a slave owner. Onesimus is his slave that has ran away. Onesimus encounters the Apostle Paul. Onesimus, the slave, converts to Christianity, and Paul sends Onesimus back to Philemon with this letter, basically telling Philemon, hey, you need to receive this man back into your home and not punish him, because number one, he is a Christian, but also he is of your flesh. Philemon and Onesimus were both Greeks, with Paul being of the tribe of Benjamin. So Paul is accentuating here the ethnicity, the bond that Philemon and Onesimus has ethnically, that is a bond that should count for something, as well as the status of Onesimus's recent conversion to Christianity. So you can't deconstruct race there, nor can you deconstruct positions in life. The Bible is not egalitarian nowhere, Old or New Testament. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 7, when you're born again, if you're born again into the kingdom of God and you're a slave, you should serve your master as you're serving Christ, as if you're serving Christ, and for masters to treat their slaves well. So there is there's an admonition there for fair treatment, but nowhere does he talk about egalitarianism. He doesn't abolish slavery or servanthood, as some translations would call it. So you, in the same way that, you know, you can't take that Galatians 3 reference and take apart gender, race, or position in life. I mean, that's the takeaway. You have to take it in context. So getting into the 1 Timothy 2, we talked about male dominion, right? And this is played out in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 2, verse 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. This is the Apostle Paul writing, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Paul's making the statement here that because the man was created first, he is in dominion over the woman. The woman, therefore, is to learn in the New Testament church under the man in silence. So female teachers and preachers are not of the Bible. That is a sign of false doctrine. As well as we have covered many times before, 1 Timothy 4, talking about other marks of false teachings. This would be the false teachers prohibiting you from marrying or partaking in meat, right? 1 Timothy 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Let me end before those that would say that's an addition or a perversion of the text, you would have to change the entire Bible, Genesis 9, all throughout the Gospels, which allow men to eat meat. Genesis 9 allows men to eat all creeping things of the earth, just as men before the flood ate of the herbs and the plants of the earth. They are allowed to eat the meat of all creeping things. Jesus fed his disciples fish. He partook in the Passover celebration where they ate a lamb. And so to make the argument that you're not to eat meat according to the Bible, you'd have to change the entire Bible, like 90% of it. So just go write your own Bible, vegans. That's what I would say to you. Getting back to male headship, because this all goes in together. 1 Corinthians 7 is the go-to chapter on marriage. Many truths are stated here. First of all, you have 1 Corinthians 7, verse 36. This is speaking of a father's right to give his virgin away. But if a man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. This is a passage talking about a father having the right to give his daughter away in marriage. That's what the whole marriage, you know, the whole Western Christian ceremony is. The father walks his daughter down the aisle and gives her to the groom. What is that? That's he is giving authority from himself to her husband in the marriage ceremony. There's a transfer of authority. The female is always to be under male authority. Even a widowed or divorced woman is under the authority of the male elders in the church, also outlined in 1 Corinthians 7. Another issue to address is polygamy in the Bible. That is a thing. It was allowed in the Old Testament. It was abolished in the New Testament. Let's go to the abolishment first. All right. 1 Corinthians 7, starting in verse 1. Now, concerning things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. This is talking about sexual benevolence. Okay. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. These are very important scriptures in 1 Corinthians 7 addressing the New Testament church, basically abolishing the polygamous practices of the Old Testament, which were allowed and were not sin, and stating a new command that the man has power over the woman's body and the wife has power over the husband's body, and they are not to defraud themselves, if you read further, of sexual intercourse. They're not to defraud themselves, lest they be tempted of Satan to sin and commit adultery. So we go to the Old Testament, and as you're most likely familiar, most of the Old Testament saints engaged in polygamy. Two in particular, Jacob, who established the nation of Israel, the biblical Old Testament nation. He wanted to take Rachel as his wife, the younger of the sisters, and he was deceived, and he was given Leah. He worked 7 years for Rachel, so he said he would work another 7 years and take Rachel. So he had two wives, both sisters. Leah was barren in the first part of the marriage. Excuse me, Rachel was barren. Correction. So Rachel gave Jacob her servant girl as a concubine or a servant wife. Not to be outdone by any means, Leah gives her servant girl to Jacob to produce children. So Jacob is married to four women, Rachel and Leah, her sisters, and their respective servant girls, with which the nation of Israel was established. The concubines of the servant girls of Rachel and Leah given to Jacob as wives were considered legit wives. They were also called concubines, which are basically wives of a servant status. They were legit. They produced the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's one example of polygamy. There's many more. We can go to David, King David, who had multiple wives. He had at least nine that are named, as well as the wives of Saul that he inherited when David took the kingdom of Israel, when God gave it to him. As well as all of Saul's concubines or his servant wives. So we don't know the number of wives David had, but they were multiple. And he was not condemned until he took the wife of another man. That would be Uriah. The woman was named Bathsheba. You can read about this in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, where David, who had many wives, you know, he didn't. Wasn't a lack of females here. David took the wife of another man, and the prophet Samuel reprimanded him. The Lord reprimanded David through Nathan, the prophet Nathan. Samuel was dead at this point. And the Lord said, I've given you, in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, 2 Samuel 12, the Lord said, I've given you all of the wives of your master Saul, the kingdom and riches and power, and would have given you much more. But yet you take the wife of another man. So David was punished for taking the wife of another man, even though he had multiple wives. So polygamy was not only allowed, it was commanded in some instances. If a man died and he did not have male heirs, his brother was to take his widow and produce male heirs in his name. That's in the book of the law. Law of Moses. Another scripture that's pretty much the nail in the coffin to polygamy being allowed is Deuteronomy 21:15. It reads, if a man has two wives, one beloved and the other hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. This is a passage that is protecting women and children in a polygamous marriage. So just to interpret that properly, the man has two wives. He favors one over the other. The unfavored wife bears the firstborn. He must bestow to the firstborn the majority of the inheritance, as is given in the law, even though the firstborn is of the unloved wife or the unfavored wife. Okay. Wouldn't it have been so much easier for the Lord just to say, thou shalt have only one wife? But that's not in there, is it? So you have polygamy allowed and even commanded in certain aspects in the Old Testament law. Again, in 1 Corinthians 7, this is abolished, and you move to a monogamous marriage relationship where the husband has power over the wife and the wife has power over the husband's body, and they're not to defraud one another. Also, the qualifications for a bishop and a deacon in the books of Timothy, Corinthians, all throughout the New Testament, the qualifications are for the man to be the husband of one wife. This would knock out a man who has multiple wives, this would knock out a man who has been divorced and remarried. Such men are not allowed to take positions of authority in the church. More on the other side in the conclusion of the One Side Spiritual Ethical Moments. It reaches into where
I cannot hide. Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Mountainside, across the sea into my soul. It reaches into where I cannot hide.
Welcome back to Spiritual Health and Wellness in Plain Sight, talking about biblical masculinity. The conclusion, and nobody is called in, which means either you agree with me or you're afraid to challenge me, and I don't blame you. I'm quite a formidable opponent when it comes to biblical matters. But let's get into this decline of masculinity in the 20th century. You could pinpoint one of the many areas of this in the Frankfurt School in Germany, very Jewish, dominated in the Weimar Republic, established in 1923 in Goethe University in Frankfurt. This line of thought that came from the school would attack the family. They saw it as a fascist unit. Fascism in the most traditional sense, meaning that, you know, the father was the supreme leader or the governor of the home, and that the woman and children under his care submitted to him. They stuck together like the fascists, And this was a huge threat to Jewish power, which is why they sought to destroy it. And the destruction of the family came in many ways, but the infiltration of Jewish ideologies through Hollywood and the media, in not only which began in Frankfurt, but also in America through Hollywood and the media, this whole thing of women's rights and feminism, it began way before the sexual revolution of the 1960s. The whole concept of women voting, okay, ladies, you may push back on this. Well, we got a right to vote. You know, we should participate. But look, before this concept, you know, the woman would be under the leadership of the man and they would vote as one. The man would vote for, you know, in light of his family, speaking for his family. And so this was one of the many divisions to destroy the family, the women's right to vote. Flash forward to the sexual revolution. We're skipping a lot, but we're limited on time here. Women in the workplace, abandoning the children, free sex, the morning after pill, contraceptions. All of these are to destroy the family, to destroy the woman's God-given created role of reproducing, with the man being the provider and the protector. Now you have the woman in the workplace. This causes many problems. Other men flirting with your woman at work. The woman, instead of devoting her time to the man and the children who love her and who respect her, now she's working 40, 50 hours a week for some corporate entity that could care less about her but just wants production. It goes on and on. Many subversive things in the culture, even in the 50s and 60s, Mary Tyler Moore, she don't need no man. She can be independent and have a career. What does this lead to? The slippery slope, as the speaker pointed out, of homosexuality. If you're going to destroy and dismantle gender, then you're going to dismantle sexuality. And then eventually trannyism, child trannyism, which is what we're leading to now, that's going to slip, you know, slide right into pedophilia, which we're seeing in real time, where children are sexualized. All of this is from the lack of masculinity. Men did not stand up and kick the television out of their homes. And the church did not do its role in salt. At the end of the show, you guys, thanks for listening and tune in tomorrow night to the William and Jeremy Show. You guys stay classy.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.